Drinks.
Hey everyone, welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. This is Betsy Stover, and this episode I am joined by co-host and frequent guest Alicia Gaddis. Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. This is so fun. Hi Betsy. Hi everybody.
Hi. Thanks for being on the show. And, you know, Amanda, my co-host for the last few years of this whole show, is taking a break. And so Alicia was kind enough to come in and help steer the ship.
Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting. I mean, because more than anything during quarantine, we're all drinking more. So in Why Mommy Drinks, that like there's, but it used to be like, let me try to think of why that is this week. And now I'm like, let's try to think of why I started at noon. You know, like Jesus, you know,
dude,
needed. This is needed.
we are so happy to be joined by a dating and relationship coach and the host of the podcast Dates and Mates podcast, Damona Hoffman. Hello.
Hello.
Did I say everything correctly?
You sure did.
Oh, good.
Here we are. Day drinking.
Damona, no. Damona, like the second I heard you were the guest, I was like, I wish I were single so that I can take your advice because it's so good. I mean, I don't wish I was single. I love my husband. But I was like, this is some good stuff up in there of emotions, talking about self-worth. I'm excited you're here because it's awesome. You're amazing.
I'm excited to be here. I mean, why do you think I do this? It's so fun. Dating is so fun, especially when you're not doing it. So
when you started working as a dating and relationship coach, were you single or what was your status?
Yes. Well, I kind of stumbled into it because I used to work as a casting director and I would teach classes for actors and how to market themselves and have headshots that really told their story and stood out. Sound familiar?
I'm seeing already and, how this can
right?
be transferable to dating.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's the same thing. Your headshot is your profile photo. Your first date is your audition. So I ended up doing a little tweak to my profile and I met my husband online. And this is a minute ago, ladies. This is 17 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was way at the beginning of online dating, and people would come to me and say, online dating doesn't really work. And I'd say, let me see your profile, or let's create a profile for you. And I had so many people that were saying, I met someone, I got married, I'm having a baby, that it just sort of snowballed. And gradually my practice grew and I helped people get online, but then saw, oh no, you're doing the same thing that's keeping you single. So then I continued to coach people through the process and get more certifications to be able to support people all the way from predate to pre-marriage. After you tie the knot, then, you know, that's above my pay grade.
You're like, peace out. You got different problems now, kids.
Yeah. Higher level quality.
Oh my God. I love that so much. I know Nicole Byer through improv comedy at UCB, but I'm also a big fan of her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me?
Love
and
it.
In the early days of her podcast, she would have guests come on and look at her dating profiles and like all of her pictures and what she said. And yeah, I would love so much to hear your your response, because I know that she had for a long time, she had a picture of her like hugging a giant dildo.
Oh, I have one of those too. Not on my beginning profile, but yes, I did come across a giant dildo not too long ago when we could go out into the wild. So maybe it's the same dildo. That dildo gets around.
So I have three kids. They are all boys, 4, 8, and 9. This might be the last time I have kids all single digits. Next Aww. Time we speak, I think my son will turn 10, which is so weird. Tell us everyone what you got there, Alicia.
I have a 16-year-old stepdaughter and a 4.5-year-old biological daughter. So awesome. Two kids, big spread, doing it. She just, Ella just got her license.
Whoa.
I know, like legit. And then my 4-year-old's still having potty accidents occasionally. Great. So we've got the spread.
Do you like trust her on the streets though? I'm so worried.
I'm worried. I mean, she's, yeah, she, it's funny when she started taking her tests, she said to us, she was like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be a very good driver because I don't really pay attention that much. We're like, okay, cool. Everybody.
I'm mostly texting.
Yeah,
and
texting. I'm doing Insta stories. So Snapchat, driving Tesla, TikTok. No. I mean, you know, but yeah. So it's good. It's good. But Damona, do you have children?
I have two. Many.
Okay.
No,
two.
I have a 6-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl.
Awesome.
Who will never drive in her entire lifetime.
You're like, but you will have, but maybe she'll date. I mean, you'll be like, listen, if you're going to go out and date, daughter, then this is going to be how I'm going to help you. That'll be so interesting when she starts dating.
You know what? When girls turn 10, apparently, they have a lot of questions. So we have been, we've been talking a lot about the birds and the bees and crushes and sex and how it works. And I've come to a, I have a rule now. Mm-hmm. You can ask me any general question, no specifics. So when it comes to like, do you and daddy, no. She's like, would a person like you ever? I'm like, girl. Back off here.
Oh my God. I was thinking about this recently, Damona and Alicia. Like, by the time my kids are dating, the landscape of dating will be unrecognizable to me. And that worries me a little bit, you know?
What do you mean in terms of like it being so much more online, because, you know, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, like mainly that. Like when I, so the last time I was dating was 20 years ago, which means there was no online element. It was maybe chatting, sometimes email, a lot of talking on the phone, which no one does. And, you know, I think what I have in my head about what is okay, like that you should never break up over text, that you, you know, that you always owe someone some, you know, at least to say like, this isn't working, goodbye. Like, I don't know if those are even going to be things that are on the table when my kids are dating. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, those things like, you said are like the opposite will be the norm. Maybe like you just text to break up.
Exactly.
Versus, you know?
Like that might be like, oh, mom, you're like 100 years old. No one calls anyone.
Like, they don't do it, but I make my clients do a phone call still before the first date. I feel like you can find out so much more than in text. It's not real-time communication, and people can't hide behind their cute little witty emojis and such when they're actually talking on the phone. But, you know, there's so much new technology that probably will be ready when our kids are ready to date. I'm like,
beaming into each other's houses with holographic images.
Like all these compatibility methods, like face mapping and compatibility through computer algorithms.
What are you talking about? Face mapping? What's this?
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm horrified and delighted.
I've had like a face reader on the Dates and Mates podcast, and somebody that also has a site that does matching this way. So based on your facial features, there are people and there are computer algorithms that can tell what your best qualities are. Like legitimately, if your ears are bigger, you are supposed to be better at listening. And there's all of this like ratio so they can actually plug all of these factors into a computer algorithm and look at what you're actually attracted to, what you connect with, and spit out matches for you.
Do you think it's real? This smells a little like phrenology to me. Do you know like the study of like bumps on people's heads?
Oh my gosh.
Well, Betsy, I would buy that too.
Betsy and Damona, I just watched that new Netflix series. It's the Indian matchmaking one. I don't know the name of it. And she went
I think it's just called Indian Matchmaker.
Oh, it is called Indian Matchmaker. I loved it. I love all dating shows. I love everything dating. I want everybody to be happy and find their match. And I want to cry. And I want a 3-month later update. Like I want to see them like happily walking the dog they just got together at a rescue and then having lattes. But she went
Alicia, congratulations on your dog, by the way.
Oh my God, wait till we get to my bad story.
Okay.
I love it. It's so, it's like having a, when you said how many children you had, I should have said my dog. Like, we're in the puppy stage. But she went in that Indian matchmaking show to the face man. The face man.
Face reader.
Face reader.
You didn't get the 2 to 3 month update though, because spoiler alert, none of those couples are still together.
No.
On that one. So I don't know. I don't know about the astrology. Yeah, remember the astrologer was like, you are going to meet your man. You have a small window.
But that lady had issues. That lady had issues. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's seen it. She had a lot of things. She had a lot of baggage to unpack. You should have helped her.
Are we talking about the woman in Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, Aparna. Honestly, she's kind of why I stopped watching the show. I found her very annoying.
She was annoying. She was a little annoying.
I'm sure she's lovely.
I'm sure she's so nice. Those editors probably really got
some. Yes. 100%. Because there were lots of times where she would be on there and I'm like, she seems like a perfectly lovely person who is self-possessed and knows what she wants and doesn't take less than, and I feel all of that, but then also it was like, oh, Jesus,
it was a little much. Have you seen Love on the Spectrum though?
Oh my God, I love that
That's
show.
My jam. Yes.
That show made me so happy.
It made me so happy too. It really did. It did.
I know, and it really shows. Like I always say, dating is a learned skill. Like we have this idea. We've watched too many rom coms, and we think we should just know how to do that. Like we should just attract our person and it's going to work out like the fairy tale.
And if they're right, then you'll know how to be. And yeah. Right.
Well, Damona, I went on 254 first dates before I met my husband and documented them all.
What?
Betsy, have we never talked about
No. Who knew we had Carrie Bradshaw in our midst?
I thought you knew this about me, which is why you were like, oh, this is a perfect match. So I was like, Damona, I wish I'd had you. But I also was, at the time, I started online dating. This is about 12 years ago. And I had gotten out of a long-term relationship. And so I said, I'm just going to start dating everyone. So I joined every internet site, every dating thing, and started going on dates. And then at the time, I was doing a lot of stand-up. So every night, I would go talk about the dates, successes or failures, like at Mike's. And then I just kind of went a little crazy because I got to a point where I was like, anyone who would ask me out or show any interest, I would say yes to, because I was like, maybe my online things. So like at the drive-through getting tacos, and they'd be like, do you want extra sauce? And I'd be like, yes, I'll go on a date with you. Like the guy down the street would be like, hey, and I'd be like, do you want to go on a date? And I would date like everybody, because I'm like, I'm, you know, why wouldn't I go on all the dates? And then I ended up doing a show about it, and I toured for a long time doing this show, and the last date, the 254th date, was my husband. So I went literally 254 dates. They're all documented.
Wow. Did you meet him online?
You know, I did. I
or
met
in the drive-through.
Him. Neither. I met him. I was doing at the Comedy Central stage a full show about my dates.
What?
He was in the audience. I know. He was in the audience. He came back to me at the end of the show and I like slayed the show. Some nights it would be horrible. I had tons of friends there because I had this like special and I'd actually invited people. And so all my friends were there and this guy comes up and he was a little like rough and he had like a leather jacket on and like a chain wallet, which we've changed
this
since
is
then.
Lucky.
Yeah. He had a whole makeover and he came up and he was like, I really liked your set. And I was like, oh, thanks. But I don't date guys who come to my show. It's just a show. And then he went back to the Comedy Store marquee, found out my name, Facebooked, messaged me.
Whoa.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, and he was like, great set. I just really wanted you to know this. And I was like, listen, I don't date guys who just actually come up to me anymore. Like I'm actually working on the material. The dating window's closed, blah, blah, blah. And then he followed up with like, listen, this is my whole life story. I have a daughter. This is where I work. This is who I am. I like these things. I enjoy Twinkies. I don't go, like all this weird stuff. And he was like, if you never want to talk to me again, that's cool. But I wanted to be totally honest with you. I'm not a weirdo. Wow. I just really liked your energy. And I was like, what is happening? He was so honest.
It was like love at first sight for him.
Yes. Wow. And then we ended up he kept saying like we were messaging. And he would say, why don't you call me? And I'm a progressive traditionalist. And I said, well, I don't call guys the first time. He called me within 1 minute and we talked for 9 hours on the phone and next day met, and I was a dating professional. And so as a dating professional who'd gone on 254 first dates, I was like, I got this. I got my date shirt. I got a good place. And I saw him and I started dripping in sweat, like straight up dripping in sweat, like couldn't make eye contact. Because literally he told me on our first date, he was like, you are special. I know you are special. I will stay around until you realize it too. Like, I will be here. In 2 weeks, he told me he loved me. Whoa. And he was like, I'm going to marry you. And I'm like, this guy's either a psychopath or like, we're going to get married. And he was just like, I'm going to be here. I know you. I'll wait. Like, and he waited till I was ready. And he was so honest and so just like... And so that was that's what happened. But I was prepared. I was prepared because I'd been through everything. So when I met this man who was like that, I know. So
he was prepared because he knew your whole rule book. He knew everything not to do.
He
to
did.
Not make the show next time.
Yeah, he studied up. He saw your show.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah, right. So it's true.
I am so impressed.
I mean, Lucky, my husband, his name is Lucky, but he's the one that got Lucky. Hey. But true. That's
and
all.
I do truly feel like you two are like soulmates.
Aww,
you really do belong together. I've never met Lucky, but I feel like I know him from your social media. but it truly, I feel like you two are like a match made in heaven. It's
thanks,
amazing.
Fancy. I feel like that. I mean, I feel very fortunate. Yeah, it's like we're definitely. I mean, not to be like super like sappy, but I literally yesterday was like, I mean, we, you know, obviously have our things, but I was like crying because I love him so much. And then I was like, because times are so hard. It's probably crying for lots of reasons, but you know. And then I got a cocktail, but yeah. So that's but I love dating. As I bring it back to that, like I love the dating, and I love that you're helping so many people because I truly believe in like love. I believe in love, so I'm. It's very exciting to me.
Yay. Even after 254 dates.
I was always a firm believer in like try on the shoe and see if it fits. Like you don't know what someone will be like one-on-one on a date. You don't know if maybe if it's just you two, if those feelings of like I think we're just friends. You don't know if like maybe that will go away or whatever. And I feel like that definitely helped me. And it wasn't that I wasn't listening to like my gut telling me like this person's a creep or whatever, but it was just like, you know what, let me give this a try, let me sort of put myself in the headspace of like this person is a possible partner and then like see how that feels.
And I think it's a balance between like read the reviews on the shoes, see what, you know, see what different styles.
Read the reviews, you know, on the shoes. I love
and
that.
Like, what's the return policy? And then make a, you know, take a calculated risk and get the shoe. But you can always return it. You can always return it.
That's how I feel. Like, I never get credit for this. And I'm just going to tell you too this. So, so there's a stand-up named Naomi Ekperigin, and she has a podcast called Couples Therapy with Andrew Beckerman. And I know them both through improv comedy. And I remember before so now they're engaged, but like I remember when he was asking her out and she was like, I don't know if I'm going to say yes. I don't know if I feel that way about him. And I told her, you should just try on the shoe and see if it fits. You never know. Aww. And she was like, oh, maybe. And here we are like a zillion years later, like over a decade later. And they're engaged. And I
love that.
I still haven't gotten credit for it, but
maybe
I feel like
they
should
this.
Know.
They should tag them. You should
that
like...
I totally do take credit for.
Jamona, do you get invited to a lot of weddings? Do you get invited to a wedding? Question one.
Actually.
Oh, everyone should invite you.
I don't really love weddings. Is that weird? My husband and I, this is terrible. We're like, We're like wedding reviewers. Like,
we'll nice.
We are those people that will sit in the back and be like, too many bridesmaids. I didn't like that song. Can you believe they did Trey Pass like this?
We are
the worst.
Gosh.
So now I'm never going to get invited to any weddings. But I did have a client that just got married just in the middle of COVID. She met her man. She did a program with me last year and had been divorced for 13 years. And she was like, I've been doing this the wrong way. She'd been on and off dating apps. And she was like, just show me what to do, Damona. And she went through the process. She met up with two guys and then this man. And now, a year and a half later, they're married. They were going to do like this whole destination wedding. And I just feel so bad for all the people who've had to change major plans like that. But they were just like, why wait? Just tie the knot.
I did read on one of the things that you had posted about how you need to be with someone all the seasons before you get married. And that's what my grandma said to me. My 105-year-old grandma would always say, you need to be with your partner for all the seasons. And my husband actually proposed to me before we'd been through all the seasons. I was like, hells no. Grandma said,
and
we
Damona.
We haven't reached fall. So
I swear
Damona,
my advice is more fresh than that. But
oh no, I think that's most people haven't heard that. I think that's says
I've never
a
heard
lot.
That.
See?
Well, I got a lot of comments when I posted that too of people that were like, no, but I met my wife in college and then we were together. We've been together forever. Or I have a really good friend whose husband proposed after 10 days and they're still together.
Aww.
But I say I have to coach the rule and not the exception. Absolutely.
Yes.
It can work out. And sometimes it does. But I can't teach that. Like, then people are going to be like, it's going to happen magically for me overnight. And that's usually not how it goes.
It's the sentiment behind it, too. You know, like you're saying, you're just saying, like, just like what you were saying, Betsy, of like, try the shoe on and see if it fits. Like, just be in the experience for a little bit. And I think that speaks to like the quickness of what I'm seeing dating is about. Like, I can't imagine being a COVID dater right now and how to deal with all that.
So much online dating, I feel like, it seems very looks based, and you just kind of write someone off pretty quickly if they don't look. I mean, I know so many people who say my partner isn't my type. Do you know what I mean? Like the type of people that I think of myself as attracted to or dating are this, but I actually ended up with this. And that's true of myself. I've heard a lot of other people say that. You know, it's funny though, Damona, when you were talking about the facial recognition thing. Okay, I have this theory. When I see people, do you ever notice like people who and this goes across genders, this goes across races, this like I notice that a lot of people in long-term relationships often have facial features that are similar. Do you know what I mean? There's like something about the landscape of their face.
It's like
space.
When people say that people look like their dogs too.
Yes.
And
there
I do have this like theory that maybe there's something like they see that face and there's something that reflects back to them as like safe or loving or like familiar. That's the other thing. Like people often will like end up with someone that looks like maybe one of their parents. And I often wonder if that's just because that person feels like safe and familiar, like they won't. That they're not dangerous or.
That's absolutely a thing. And also it makes me think of another phenomenon of mirroring. Like if you mirror someone's vocal tone or body language, they automatically feel more connected to you.
Totally.
And so this is something that happens naturally as you know somebody over time. But I actually teach my clients how to do this to create connection. Is that cheating?
Love it.
Is that cheating?
No, that's incredibly clever. I just watched a master class on the art of negotiation. And that's literally one of the top things hostage negotiators do in times of crisis. So this is just a tactic.
Zigzagged.
No, I'm so... Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you gotta catch them and keep them, you know?
Yes, catch them and keep them. And that's right. So any way you can relate to someone at the beginning to find common ground, to ease in that interaction. I mean, those are both high-stakes situations in different ways, right? Your possible mate could be there, or someone could rob a bank. Like, mirroring is a tactic we can all use.
Absolutely. As long as it's not, like, so obvious and weird. Like, sometimes I'll teach people and I'm like, no. Not like that. Like, it's not like the robot or something. Yeah.
It's not like when your little brother is, like, mimicking you and trying to make you crazy.
Yes.
It's like leaning in or, like, you know.
Yeah. Crossing your legs. Or
I do think that a lot of people don't think of this thing. It's like, it's even in ordering, right? So, I mean, always order what you want. We're grown-ass women and grown people. But, like, what would you like? Oh, do you want to start with a first course? If someone's like, sure, I'll take a salad as a first course. Oh, sure, I'll have this too. Not like, I'm just here for dessert. You know what I mean? Or like, what do you want to drink? Oh, I don't drink. I'm having a tea. And then it's like, oh, okay, that information I'm going to process, maybe to make that person more comfortable, I will also order a diet soda.
I was going to get a tequila shot, but maybe this will steer me in a different direction.
I mean, I've been in those situations, or even work meetings where you go out back in the day where someone's like, oh, I'll have a martini. And you're like, oh, great, I'll have a gin and tonic. You know, it sets the tone when you're mirroring situations as well as body behavior, you know, and whatnot. I think it's a great general rule for taking yourself out of your own presence and being truly connected. It's a way to connect, even if it is superficial at the beginning, but I believe it can help.
That's something we teach in improv comedy, is like, if your scene partner comes in a certain way, that if you match them, it puts you on the same page, like, right away.
Yes.
So if they come in tentative and nervous, if you are also tentative and nervous, it sort of bonds the two of you together with that agreement. It's interesting.
Actually, that's a great tip. I use a lot of improv techniques in teaching people how to flirt, actually, and teaching people how to tell stories and be better listeners. It's so valuable. And it's not even about, as you know, it's not about being funny. It's about being real, right? And, like, really committing to the moment that you're in. So,
and being a good listener, an active listener.
Yeah, you'd be a great dating coach, Betsy.
Thank you.
Come on over to the dark side.
I'm into it. Oh, I wish. Awesome. Yeah, I do think that improvisers are fun to date, because they keep the conversation going. They're fun. They usually have some deep, dark, sad clown situation.
Oh my gosh, you guys definitely have to do, like, a collaboration where you take your like a workshop where you're going to bring all your daters to Betsy's improv class, and then it'll turn into a documentary and I'll watch it.
Great.
On Netflix.
On Netflix. Why not? This is
speaking,
like,
into the universe. Thank you.
Yes. I'm going to produce it. So, I mean, this is a great idea. And why not? The people need this. It's great. I'm so excited.
Let's make it happen. Life has been a little overwhelming lately, right? We don't all have the support system in place that we normally do, and you might be feeling less happy and productive than normal. And you might be thinking, maybe it's time to talk to somebody so that you can start living your best life. BetterHelp is a safe and private online environment. They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can send a message to your counselor at any time, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. And this is all without having to leave your house, find parking, sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, get a babysitter, all of that. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which might not even be available in your area. They have licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, family conflicts, grief, anger, self-esteem, LGBT matters. It's professional, convenient, and it's more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available. Everything you share is confidential. So many people have been going to BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So I want you to start living a happier life today. So as a Why Mommy Drinks listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month of online counseling by visiting betterhelp.com/drinks. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/drinks. I'm going to start off telling you what's been breaking me. It's a continuation of what's been happening recently. My kids are all, well, not all of them, but my 8-year-old and my 9-year-old are homeschooling, you know, doing distance learning. Mm-hmm. And something that's been really challenging, you know, and my 4-year-old has been distance being neglected, you know, distance, go play this app, and yes, we'll see you in an hour. But so my kids, it's really hard to keep track of what they're doing. Unless you're sitting there, which a lot of parents do, and God bless, a lot of parents do just sit there with their kid, like next to them or near them, and keep tabs on what they're supposed to be doing. But that's super crazy for my lifestyle, at least.
Yeah, that's hard.
No shade to anyone who's doing that, like, I can't do that, but I also will not do that. Like, I feel like that to me is so beyond. I don't know. Like, you're at school. Like, a teacher is here. Our tax dollars are paying for this. Like,
and they're of age. Like, they're like a they're like an age to be able to open like their pencil case. Well, you know what I mean? Like, they don't need, like, I mean, unless they're like, Mom. But, you know, I feel like that's a great age. That's a good age. And they're not 4 is what I'm saying. You know? Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah. So my expectation certainly is that they should be able to do this. And that if they can't, then there's an issue probably with just kind of how this is being done overall. You know, and there's a part of me also that's just like, I'm capitulating to the fact that distance learning, no matter how hard we try, is probably going to be kind of a shit show no matter what. And that's okay. And we're all experiencing it. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you're the one whose kids didn't really learn that year. Like, you know.
Right.
But I keep coming in. So like this morning, for example, I go in to... It's very hard to keep track of what everyone is supposed to be doing, even though they are like, okay, here, all of the information is on this one site and there's these things. And sometimes you have to go here and check this and then print this off and then make sure that they do this and they input it on this other app. There's like a lot of apps going on at once. Ooh, there's a lot of things to check. I feel like I am constantly being made aware of things that I did not know were supposed to be happening. Like, we had back to school night yesterday where both schools had, you know, the principal talked, and then you like go to a smaller Zoom and talk with the teacher, and the other parents are there. And you know, so people will be like, well, what about the blah, blah, blah? And you're like, what the fuck is blah, blah, blah? Like, you have no idea. They'll be talking about so that literally happens. They're like, so in the morning, when they open up the morning page and blah, blah, blah. And I eventually had to be like, I am so sorry. I have no idea what this morning page is and if we're supposed to be doing it. And I don't know what's happening.
Betsy, so, yeah. And you're in like a Zoom with other parents without the teacher?
No, this was back to school night. Oh. So that was yesterday. And it was a Zoom with the other parents and the teacher.
Oh, I just don't like breakout rooms. I'm so confused. And people are like, and now we're going to go to a breakout room. I'm like, this was not on the sign-up sheet. This was not, you know. So, okay.
Now we all have to straggle off and someone's not coming.
So awkward.
And I might not know where to go. And then I'm in some virtual void.
And then the people that will not mute when, like, the teacher is talking and you're just like, go, stop it. Will you just stop it?
Yes. Someone was at back to school night and they were at a restaurant ordering and come we could on. All hear come them on. Being like I'm gonna have and it was just like shut. And also I wanted to say to the teacher, like, do you know how to mute the other people? Because as a host you can do that, but I didn't want to make I didn't want it to be like I was telling the teacher.
Teacher-splaining the teacher.
Yeah, I didn't want to teacher-splain. And maybe it's because the teacher's a dude. Maybe that was it. I was like, I'm not going to tell this white man how to do things. But I don't know.
That would have been what I wanted to. Yeah.
I have no patience. My husband's like, calm down. Stop interjecting. Just I'm like, the same. Come on. Pull it together. Like, there's Zoom etiquette.
Yeah, Zoom there etiquette.
There was so much background noise. So like last night I get this email from Schoology, which, let's all be honest, it should be like Schoology, but Schoology, okay.
It was taken. The name was taken, probably.
Is that right?
I just guessed.
It's like, no, even the teacher was like, we're going on Schoology, because it's like zoology. Anyway, Schoology. Yeah.
Schoology.
So I get this email from Schoology for whatever reason, even though my husband is on Schoology, he doesn't get this email. And it's like, your son, Rex, has not done this assignment. And then I ask Rex this morning about it. And he's like, oh, I did that. So it's like, you just don't know what is happening at any given moment. I went in there today. Rex was sitting in this big chair that we have in the playroom, which is where his workspace office area is. And he was in this big chair. He and all scrunched down so I couldn't see what was on his screen. And I finally looked and it was like his teacher was just on the screen. Okay, his teacher was on the screen silent, just looking at the kids. And then he had turned his video off and my kid was looking at some website that was talking about like Just Dance 21, 2021 Just Dance is coming out and here are some things. Like, it was just like, wait, what? And I was like, what are you supposed to be doing? He's like, I don't know. My teacher's not saying anything. And I was like, well. And then his teacher is like, 3 more minutes. And I was like, Rex, it feels like maybe there's something you're supposed to be doing. And he's like, I don't know. I went to the bathroom and I came back and this is what's happening. I was like, well, maybe you need to ask her what's happening because it sounds like maybe there's a quiz or... You know,
it's not on Just Dance.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure whatever it is, she wasn't like, please go onto YouTube and find out what dances are going to be on the new Just Dance 2021. So he wouldn't. And like, it was just like, so finally I was like, I am going to go on there and ask your teacher if you don't. And he was like, no. And so I was like, okay, well, then daddy's going to do it. Daddy's going to go on and ask your teacher if you don't. And so I was made to leave the room so that my husband – and she was like, yeah, they're supposed to be writing something and, like, there's a minute left. Yeah. So it's just like this all the time where, like, you'll just find a child in a room that's not their room where their desk is. And you'll be like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, I'm on break. And then they'll tell you that they have to come. It's just, I'm on break. And you'll look over at the computer and the teacher is talking to the screen. And you're like, are you? That's what those other kids are doing. I'm not in that group. Like, you just never know what's happening. And it's really confusing. And
that's so hard. I like the thing I can't get over. I can't get over the fact that for like we as parents are the very first parents who've had to exist with our children being raised in technology. And for so long, it was like, okay, don't put your kid ages 0 to 17 on any form of screen. And they're like, okay, an hour. Okay, 2 hours. And now we're like, 24 hours a day. You must take Zoom meetings from small baby. Like, and the kids are like, wait, you told me I was never allowed to watch YouTube, and now YouTube's the only way I learn science. Like, right.
And I tell, and when my kids have a break or whatever, they want to look at a screen, and I'm like, no, you have to give your brain and your eyes a rest. You need to like move around and do something else. And they're like, they get so mad when I tell them that they can't look at a screen when they're not in school looking at a screen.
It's like, how do you draw that line? Because there's no lines. We all have no idea what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're literally like, oh, here's a really fun learning app. And then my daughter will be, then I'll be like, oh, go do this learning app. Because if I give her a learning app when I have to work, then I personally don't feel as guilty.
Exactly.
Like, oh, totally learning Chinese right now. Cool. And then it's like, and then a few minutes later, she'll be like, Mom, can I watch Daniel Tiger or Dino Dana? And I'll be like, no, you can't. And she'll say, but it's a learning program. And she's got me on a technicality.
Yep.
But I don't know where to do it. And so, Betsy, I can't even imagine having a kid that age who you're not monitoring all the time because you're not supposed to monitor all the time. But then there's no way to monitor them.
Yeah.
You hire my husband and he'll come over and monitor.
He is like
on them. Whoa. He has like checklists. And I gave up a long time ago. I quit. We're in week 2. I already quit. But he's just like going through their assignments and everything. And we're doing a little pod with another family. We talked to them last night and they were like, we have no idea like what assignments our kids have actually completed. They just say, yeah, we did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is your husband a Virgo?
He is.
Yeah. Ah, I'm a Virgo too.
I'm a Virgo.
I'm a Sag. I was just like, forget it, whatever. Live in the moment.
Damona, does your husband have like a full-time job, or is he sort of like the parent on call
right now? He's a writer, so he's developing a couple shows and I don't know what happens. I just know he goes to his office and the checks come in. So something's happening. I don't know.
That's good.
I don't know. It's not my business. I have my space. Yeah. He has his space. We both get our stuff done. And then
all of the checks say in the memo, it says Cam boy.
That could be it. I don't know. Look, if it pays the bills, please don't knock it. That would be hilarious if my Virgo husband was a cam boy.
Oh my gosh.
Tune in to watch me boss my kids.
I'd also watch that.
Oh, that is so provocative.
Alicia, what's broken you? Tell us.
Oh
tell
my
us
gosh, this week really broke me, and I just feel like I put it upon myself because I did. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned, we like got a puppy, and we succumbed to this quarantine puppy situation, and we had tried to adopt a puppy twice in Los Angeles. And I don't know if you all know what's happening, but it's a competitive, vicious market for adoption right now. Yeah. Like all the dogs are adopted. And then, like, I won't say the name of the place, but it's a fancy adoption place. Didn't know that existed. And we tried everything. I'm talking, emails, social media. What? So we went to this place and it costs like $600 to adopt a dog. And I'm not talking a puppy. I'm talking any dog. Like I'll take a three-legged dog. I'll take a one-eyed dog. I'll take like any mutt dog. And
that's a lot of money.
And then they ask you for a donation.
On top of that.
Mm-hmm. So my family, I don't think, donate as much. So they put you through an interview process with the dog where your family falls in love with the dog that you're trying to adopt after you wait in a hot parking lot for over 3 hours waiting for your turn with the dog. And you get sent home not knowing if you got the dog or who else is paying more money. It's like like a hustle. There's a bad situation going on in Los Angeles. I mean, the people are like, they're doing good stuff because all the dogs are adopted.
Wait, can you say the name and we'll just bleep it out?
I'll tell you later. Okay. I promise. Because I'm so worried because they're attached to like a lot of things. And I don't want my friends who work. So my friends who do stuff and have adopted a dog.
Is it the Scientology?
Yes. No.
Dog adoption. I mean,
no, because I don't have friends in Scientology. No offense, but I don't. But so anywho, so we tried. My husband was really devastated. But, you know, everything works out cosmically because we drove across the country. And to have a dog, that would have been incredibly rough because we like we camped all the way, and I don't camp. That's a whole other thing. But we got here and we bought a dog because that's what I guess it is. We got a dog from this place that only has 2 litters a year, and they're it's adorable. You can check out my dog on my Instagram, and because everyone should love my dog Django. And Django is a Brittany poo, so it's a Brittany and a poodle mixed, and he's just like looks like he's one of those like teddy bear looking dogs, and he's hypoallergenic, all these great things. He's going to be an emotional support dog.
He's beautiful.
He's so good. Beautiful. But leading up to this, my daughter still hasn't been around another child for over 6 months now. So like we got a dog because we're like, she needs to have something more than just parents who sometimes are friends, but not friends because we're always her parents. And that's not how we wanted to parent. But since she doesn't have any friends, I can't pretend to be a Barbie doll or like a pirate 84 hours a day. I'm losing my mind. So we thought like a dog would be great. So
wait, really quick, Alicia, is your stepdaughter, where is your stepdaughter?
I know. That's the thing, because you're right. She usually is with us all summer. We haven't seen her since this year because she was in Seattle, and which was very hard because she was like still at school and then not the same quarantining, and she was going to have to fly. So she just moved back to Los Angeles County, like 2 weeks ago. And so she, when we get back to LA, hopefully we'll be able to set up meeting her. So I think she's excited about seeing the dog, but I do miss Ella. It's hard. That's a whole thing. So we have to FaceTime her all the time and like, you know, not being able to almost see your other kid for nearly a year when we get to see her is crazy. Who's only 16, you know? But we got the dog, and before leading up to the dog, my daughter was so pumped, and we were talking about responsibility. We watched training videos because, as I mentioned, I'm a Virgo, and everything was like, I made lists. We bought treats. I researched everything. And then my daughter, for about a week prior to getting the dog, only wanted to act like a dog all day. Like a dedicated dog. Like, I mean, food on the floor, only responding to dog, like, oh, come on, Indiana. No, or like a dog, but a happy dog. She's like a really happy dog.
Wait, like, Alyssa, why? Tell me about your dog's name. You named your dog Django.
Django. After
as
Django,
in Django Unchained.
I know, right? After Django Reinhardt. Yes. I mean, yes, that's similar. We named Django after Django Reinhardt because my husband and I both like gypsy jazz, and the story of Django Reinhardt having a disability and creating a whole different way of playing guitar with only 3 fingers.
What? I've never heard of any of this.
Django Reinhardt, you must play Django Reinhardt music. You're going to fall in love and have a small dance party, and you're going to love it.
Okay, great.
Django Reinhardt, I love gypsy jazz.
I was sure that this was a Quentin Tarantino hero.
I'm glad you clarified that.
No, thank you. No, I don't really. Django or Quentin Tarantino movies are a little too violent for me. I get very nervous. My husband loves them. So I haven't even seen it, but I do know the name of the movie.
Go on.
Oh, no. So my daughter was acting like a dog. We get the dog. The dog is hard but good, but like so cuddly, but a puppy. So it's like fighting and peeing, and we're getting up to walk him at night and crating, and he's yipping, and it's like a there's pooping everywhere. So it's like all the dog stuff. So like and then on top of that, my daughter's now terrified of the dog. So she'll just like take off running, like, ah! And yesterday she was like, why did we get a dog? Because that was another thing I forgot to mention. My daughter's terrified of dogs, and we thought if we got a dog, she'd get over her being terrified of getting a dog. Yes.
Or she'll be tortured and end up in
so
therapy.
We're like, if we get a small puppy, you're right.
Oh my God.
But she she's like, okay. Oh, and we're also like intense. So we created, speaking of online school, because I felt like Indiana should have, her name is Indiana. Indiana should have school because we recently moved from Koreatown to South Pasadena and pulled her out of preschool. And then COVID hit and we didn't have her in a new preschool. So she doesn't even have
Oh my God, you
like
were my neighbor community. And I didn't even know it.
I know.
You were, oh, you were both of our neighbors. Oh my goodness.
What? No, wait, what? Now you're, where are you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 We're close. I mean, now I'm South Pass. But not right now. I'm in Columbus, Indiana at this moment. I'm on East Coast time. But I forgot what I was talking about. I got so many things in my brain. Oh,
so your daughter is acting like a dog. Yeah.
She was acting like a dog. We got the dog. She's terrified of the dog. She wanted to get a dog. I talked her into getting a dog. We got a dog. Our dog is adorable and a terror, but more adorable today than yesterday. Like every day is getting better. But yesterday, we're out swimming. My parents have a lake. And we're swimming in the lake. My daughter gets out. We're like ready to come home, check on the dog. She walks across the deck and gets a splinter. And this is not like a little splinter. This was like an inch and a half splinter. And I'm talking her amount of trauma went crazy. Scream. And my daughter's very calm, but like also you know, bold and sassy, but very great. She's a good kid. Like she doesn't freak out. She just doesn't. She doesn't throw temper tantrums. She just is good. She is. And she flipped out in a way that was like two neighbors around my parents' giant lake walked over from their house to see if like child protective services needed to be called.
Oh, wow.
Because she decided to revert back to being a dog. She literally started barking and snarling and tried to bite us. She's like, rawr, 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 rawr.
No.
And I was like, Indiana, I have to get the splinter out because it was so bad she couldn't walk on it on the bottom of her foot. So she literally was like, wouldn't speak, just barking and wailing like a dog, kicking. She ran over to my mom's flower bed and acting like she was digging in the dirt.
What?
Like she went, but you guys, I'm not kidding. I don't know what's happened. Quarantine's broken our family.
We're all totally normal. Nothing to see here, right?
Totally fine. My mom was like, the neighbor stopped by. She was like, just got a splinter. Don't worry about it, Dolores. some guy rode up on a bike and just like, hey, Ted, everything's cool. My daughter's like,
splinters. It's like a full moon. It turns children into werewolves. It's fine.
Total breakdown. And my daughter, when she did start talking again, because we gave her two pieces of banana bread and an ice cream, just so I could try to get the tweezers by her foot. That's when she started crying. And she's, like I mentioned, never said anything mean to me. She started sobbing and like growling again. And that's when she said, for the first time ever, she said, you're not my mommy and I don't love you. And that's the first time she's ever said anything. And I've heard of people's children doing these things.
Yes.
And I was like, never mind. And I started crying because it was my breaking point.
Yeah.
I started crying and my mom came over and she goes, and I'm never coming to your house, Grammy. And it was like this demon, werewolf, dog, child was just like, I had no idea she knew what to say to be hurtful. So I'm crying. Yeah. She's crying. The neighbors are like trying to come closer to us, see what's like. I mean, when I say screaming, you guys, like think of an infant scream when you're like, oh, whoa. God, that's an infant. That for 2 hours.
Whoa.
2 hours. Straight. She lost her voice. Until I finally
Whoa.
Got, and then we had to hold her down because the splinter, it wasn't like a little splinter. We soaked it. We did all the things. I'm Googling everything, baking soda, anything you could do. I ended up getting it and holding her and like she was crying and I stopped crying. But I literally was like, it was the worst. The worst. And of course I was like, my husband wasn't there, and I was like, you're never here when these things happen, because he would stay home with the dog, and I was like, I'm the one that always has to do the splinters in life. But it was just, and then she forgot about it. Like, I put her in a bath and she to soak to make sure any particles, and then she was like, I love you, mama, everything's cool. And I'm like, I'll never forget.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy how they can just like something so dramatic can happen and then they're just over it, like it never even happened.
Yes. And she's never made me cry like that. Like, you guys, I was holding it together, but I started like crying because I was like, oh my God, this is so sad. I'm so sad. So it literally, and when you say like, why drinking? I came home and like, my husband had the wine already poured. He was like, you deserve it. Right. Tap out.
Good.
Like, okay, but it was, but the dog, it was like, she was literally acting like a dog. And today she's back to normal. She's not being a ferocious rabid dog. But
Alicia, I've been in your shoes. Like, I've had my kids say horrible things to me, and it's really, really hard, if not impossible, to not take it personal and to not be hurt by it. It does. It hurts, because it's like you're a person that I love, you know, more than any other person, and I do so much for you to make you happy, and for you to say something like, I don't love you, or you're not my mom. It's just like it hurts. You can't not
hurt. It really hurt. And I'm sorry that happened to you too. Like, it's just, it was so weird and sad. And it's like, you know, and you think like, you know, it's one of those things, and I know she doesn't mean it. And but in that moment, she meant it. In that moment, she really was full of anger. And that was like hard too, because you try to, I'm all about like, all children should have all their emotions.
Right. You're feeling angry.
Like, your anger, and I never get upset. I don't. When I've never, like, I just like, I thought I'd be the parent who like kind of yelled and lost it. When things get crazy, I get super calm. Like, everyone always knows when like things are going crazy, because I just drop into like this weird calm place. Like, the whole time she said that, and I was like, I know you have these feelings, but I wanted to be like, why did you do this to me? I just like started crying. It was so hard. And then I said, can I hold you? Like, can I give you a hug? And she was like, don't you dare touch my body. This is my body and my choice. Oh. And I'm like, oh God, which I've taught her to say. I'm very proud of her in retrospect.
That's good parenting.
I know, that's good. Go. But that, at that moment, I'm like, oh God, did the neighbors hear that too? Oh. Jesus Christ.
Right.
What are they thinking? Oh. But yeah, so it was a heartbreak. It was a crazy heartbreak.
Those moments like that where you have to hurt them, you know what I mean? Like, you have to clean a wound, or, you know, take out a splinter, are so hard because you have to do it. But then they're so upset, and they know you are hurting them. You're right there. It's awful.
It is. And you don't want to lie, because she kept saying like, is this going to hurt me?
Right.
And I said, I won't lie to you. This could hurt. And it wasn't. It was literally about an inch, like a huge piece of wood went horizontal. Whoa. So I had to like cut it with the splinter and then dig out the cut it with a needle and then dig it out.
So you were just like doing old West surgery over there. You had her bite a stick. Like, she had a shot of whiskey.
That's the one step I forgot.
You put a leech on there. You cut her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that didn't come up in my Google search.
Put a leech on. Cut her hair.
So yeah, that was a real trauma, because it went from being like an adorable dog to rabid meanness.
all of my kids, they've never had a dog phase, although one of my brothers did, but they've all had cat phases. And usually my 4-year-old has been talking to me as a cat for months now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, wants food on the floor too, like lapping it up?
No. But, you know, the first thing he'll say, like, like, he'll usually greet me as a cat. He'll come onto my bed and he'll meow. He'll pretend to be a cat. He'll stretch like a cat. And he'll tell me about himself as like the cat. He's got a certain He says he's a bring back cat. I don't know.
Bring it back.
Yeah. And he has a funny little like speech impediment where he always sounds kind of Italian. So he's like, a bring a back a cat. I don't know why that is.
I love it. I don't know. I mean, I love that creative play. Could you imagine if like we still did that in our lives? Like, I just went to my husband. I was like, meow. I mean, I'm sure some couples really get into that. And he's like, ruff, ruff. I'm like, that was just like the norm. And then it's like, meow, meow. And like, I was like, he put my plate out for dinner and I'm just like knocking on the floor, meow, meow. Having on the floor. I snuggle up. That's how I wake him up. He'd probably be like, what is going on? I don't know. But like, when, like, isn't that we like lose that, right? Like, we were told, like, you're not supposed to be a cat all the time once you turn 7. But I may bring that back. I may bring it back, cat, bring it back, cat.
That's where it comes from. Yeah.
So, Damona, please tell us what has broken you.
Well, everything has broken me in quarantine. It's like death by a thousand cuts. Oh. Like, yeah. The distance learning / no sleep. My son's never been a good sleeper / pretty much the just the interaction between the two of them. But one thing
they fight
that,
a lot.
But at least I don't have any vomit. And I keep telling myself this. I'm knocking on wood because as soon as I say something like that, then then it's like the universe will bring it to me. But when my son was young, he had a vomit situation a lot. And I'm not so good with the vomit. I've always been like, I'm kind of a lightweight. Mommy does drink, but mommy can only drink like about 8 ounces before things go south. So I was always that person. Like in college, I was always the one making sure my girlfriends got home and like holding their head over the toilet. And I'm really scarred and traumatized by that. Like, because I have my life together, now I'm subjected to this. So, you know, I was always afraid of morning sickness. And thank God, I don't know how I made it through. I never actually threw up with any of them. Yeah. I was nauseous, but I held it together. There was a time, though, in the underground in Seattle where things almost went a different way. But of course, knowing this,
wait, what does that even mean?
Yeah, do you hold it in and run upstairs or like swallow? Like, what happened?
Oh, like you were in like the subway?
You know, the underground, there's like the city was actually built like, I don't know, 50 feet under where it is now. And so there's this whole like underground city, old West Town.
It
smells
so cool.
Terrible. It smells terrible. And if you are in the first trimester of pregnancy, it is not advisable. So
got it.
There was a moment I was down there. I was like, oh my God, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. We're down here in the catacombs. But it didn't happen. But then, of course, my son came out, same pregnancy. And he just is an uncontrollable vomiter.
So, does he have a tricky gag reflex?
Well,
we've got one of those.
I didn't realize that now I understand. But back when he was younger, he would throw up in the car, like rear facing. He would throw up if he was sick, and he was like he coughed to the point where he threw up, and he would almost always throw up on planes. And I got to the point where I was like, I really don't want to take him anywhere. And my daughter, I traveled with her constantly when she was little. And I would take her on planes. She had more frequent flyer miles than some adults by the time she was like 2. But my son, I was like, I can't have this. So you're just grounded. But there was one year it was was almost 2. It was Thanksgiving. We had to go back to New York to visit with my husband's family. And so I was like, all right, we're going to try it. So of course, while he's there, he gets a little cold. And it didn't matter if it was a little cold or a big cold. Like if he was coughing or sneezing or had any phlegm or mucus, like there was a high likelihood that it was coming up. So we get through the trip, no vomit. We board the plane to go home from New York to LA. So he's sitting on my lap. My daughter's sitting next to me. My husband's on the aisle. And he starts to have a coughing fit. And I was like, it's going to be okay. Because he's at the tail end of the cold. I'm like, it's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And then I start to see him like do this thing where he's kind of gasping. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So I go in and I reach for the you know, little baggie.
Our bag. Yeah.
And I grab it. I have it in my hand. And just as I'm about to open it, he like projectile vomits all over the top of the bag. It slides down the top of the bag, all down my legs. I always brought a change of clothes for the kids, not for me.
Yeah.
So it's all on my pants. And then it kind of, as I'm trying to pick it up from the top of the bag, it slides, it goopy slides over onto my daughter's iPad that she's watching. Oh! She starts freaking out. She's like five right now. Ooh. So she's freaking out. And like everyone in the cabin, we're about halfway through a 6-hour flight.
Oh no.
So then the smells start coming
up.
It is intense, let me tell you. I am so impressed though with the flight attendants, because it was like they have done this so many times. Like flight attendants came over and they're like, all right, put down this plastic bag. Okay. Spray a little of this powder. Okay. Put this on top of it. Okay. Oh. Give me this change your clothes. It was like they had a whole system. They did not crack.
Was it Delta?
Girl, I don't remember. It might have been Delta. Did you have a vomit experience on Delta?
No, but I someone did have a vomit experience near me, and they were like on it. And so
I think it was Delta. They must have a vomit protocol.
Well, having done this podcast for about 4 years and hearing many, many, you know, hundreds of stories, I have to say, I have heard a lot of stories about little kids puking and shitting everywhere on airplanes. So they must have to deal with unreal messes.
So foul. I mean, people around us were asking, they're like, can we move? Can we please move away? And yeah, I was like, it is on me. Okay. I understand. They were like, I'm so sorry. The flight is completely full. So after that, we didn't travel for a really long time. Turns out much, much later, there was another time he was coughing. And I was like, it really looks like he's struggling to breathe. But he's second kid. And so I was like, I don't want to be, it's probably fine. I don't want to be like too worried.
Right.
And finally, I called my doctor and she's like, send me a video. And then she was like, okay, this kid definitely has asthma and he's struggling to breathe. And you need to actually like take him in right now and we need to put him on a nebulizer.
Whoa.
And so it was the asthma. And then it turns out he also has a vestibular processing thing. So the rear facing would always make him dizzy. So it was like this perfect storm for both travel and coughing when he was sick that just produced a lot of mucus. And
well, good
I feel
job
like we've got it under control. But
yeah.
I put my hands together and I pray and I thank, I express gratitude for lack of vomit on me. And I just hope that this winning streak can continue. Because everything else is just a hot mess. I don't need that hot mess as well.
No.
Oh my God, that's a nightmare. So for 3 hours, you were just covered in vomit, couldn't do anything about it.
My daughter's complaining because her iPad also smells like vomit.
Oh my God.
And I have a sick child on my lap on top of it. And everyone around me complaining.
That you stink.
But, you know, you go nose blind after a while, you know, so then everybody just acclimated and we made it.
Nose blind. That's a phrase I've never heard of that phrase, and it makes such sense.
I didn't make it up. I think like Febreze made it up in a commercial or something.
Oh.
But it's a thing, right? You smell it. It's really terrible for a while and then it's
nothing. Yeah. How do you guys feel about people who there was like this whole movement that may still exist when you fly with infants, and people were like, some parents, mostly like very crafty moms, were making like little Ziploc baggies of like, my child's going to be on this plane. Here's a shot of vodka, earplugs, you know, my phone number to text me, like, and passing them out to everybody, like, you know, apologizing pre-flight.
No, I am very anti that.
Me too. me
yeah,
too.
I'm just like, I'm like, deal with it. Deal with it. Yeah, I've dealt like, with your apologize. Kids for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my turn.
No.
I mean, I want to receive a free package. Like, I want a swag bag from somebody else's kid, but I, like, I'll take your bag, but I don't, like, I was always, for a hot second, I was, Damona, I was the same. We flew a lot with Indiana when she was, pre this. We were on flights all the time, and I thought, should I be doing that? Like, because, you know, she would cry or this or that. But I just thought, you know, no. It seems like
people can deal.
Yeah, so, like, maybe they had to sit in a vomit smell going nose blind. People can deal.
I feel terrible. Yeah. I mean, I would have had to pass out drinks to the entire plane. All of coach. They pull that little curtain in first class. They're like, no vomit smell up here.
Damona, did anyone send you a drink?
Right?
Aww,
that's what I'm right? talking about. That's what it should have been.
Right?
No. Yes.
No, that's what my husband and I like to do. If we see someone who's like on a flight alone with their kids and they're having a hard time, we will send them a drink.
That is really kind.
I vow to do that from now on, Betsy. Right? That is a great idea.
Wouldn't that make you so happy? It would make me so happy.
Although if I drink, then we might have had more vomit. So it's probably better.
Damona.
Keep it neutral.
Well, is there any, where can people find you online? What should they check out? What have you got to promote? I want to send people your way.
Well, I'm on all the socials at Damona Hoffman. I don't have any cute dog pics like you do, Alicia. I was checking out your dog a little earlier.
Aww.
Yeah.
The dog's
I'm pro
cute.
Django.
Oh, cute.
But I do have a lot of cool tips and interviews and all kinds of stuff from the Dates and Mates podcast. And that's the other place where people can hear me. Modern Love Made Simple, dating and relationship advice. Headlines, who's dating who, what shows you need to watch on Netflix if you love shows like you two do, and advice on how to navigate love in the craziest time that we have ever lived through.
For real. Alicia, can you tell everyone where to find you and tell them also the name of your book that just came out?
Aw, thanks, Betsy. Sure, I mean, sure. You can check me out on Instagram. I'm there a lot, as well as the Facebooks. Just at I'm Alicia Gaddis. Like I am Alicia Alisha Gaddis. And yeah, my book. I just got the book comes out in October, but you can pre-order. And I just got the big box in the mail with put my hands on it. And I need to take photos of that. And it's called Mama's Milk and Me, a nurse journal for nursing mothers. So it's a journal by Mango Publishing, and it's. I hope it helps people and keeps. It's like a keepsake, and it's set up for the weaning process as well. Not only it's about keeping memories and helping you. Not helping you. I'm not an expert, but I did talk to a lot of experts. But keeping memories and things you're thinking or places you weaned your child or nursed your child. And then there's a countdown at the end of the book to the last day of nursing your child, whether that was like 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 years. So yeah, I'm excited it's coming out. Thanks for asking, Betsy.
Lovely. I legit thought you said keeping memories.
Why is that not?
I need to call my publisher right now.
We have a new thing. We got to put it on the front.
Hashtag that right now.
Thanks for the memories.
Memories.
Thanks for the memories.
That sounds awesome. I totally needed that.
Yeah.
Right?
Next time. There won't be a next time.
There won't be a next time.
I will pass this on to friends. I have friends that are nursing right now.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Well, Damona, you are doing a great job. Great job.
You really are, Damona. You really are, Damona.
That's really hard.
Sounds like you're running a household.
I do cry in Peloton, but I won't cry here because that would just
you can.
That would just ruin my look at this point. Thank you. You too. This is such a fun show, and I'm so glad that I was able to chat with you. Finally, we've been talking about it for months, and then a global pandemic happened, and we are here.
Betsy, Betsy, you are doing a great job. Not only are you helping your kids with their education by and letting them be independent and dependent on you, you're that which is also crafting their personality and further life skills. You are kind and loving and doing a wonderful job this week and always, Betsy.
Wow. Thank you, Alicia. Gosh.
Boom. There you have it.
Alicia, you are doing a great job.
Thank you.
And hey, you got two dogs now. That's hard.
Dog's life.
Winter removal service. You're winning.
Well,
feels like it.
For you listening, thank you for joining us. Thank you to Damona. Thank you to Alicia for joining us. And you at home, you are doing a great job.
My mommy drinks.
Have you ever encountered an unexplained hairy bipedal hominid in the woods?
Have you received telepathic messages from an unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If so, then you need to listen to Bigfoot Collectors Club. I'm Michael McMillan.
And I'm Bryce Johnson.
And together with super producer
Riley Bray,
we make up the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
That's right. Every week we talk to actors, comedians, writers, and paranormal experts about their personal paranormal histories and share stories of high strangeness.
Like the time when we talked to Craig Ferguson about the Loch Ness Monster and when a sea witch told him he had raven magic.
Or the time I asked Pitch Perfect's Anna Camp her opinion on cattle mutilations. Past guests have included Rachel Bloom, Jen Kirkman, Paul F. Tompkins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and more.
So if you've ever been abducted alongside five reindeer by an alien with drills for hands or witnessed Bigfoot crawl out of an interdimensional portal,
don't laugh, happens all the time.
Then check out Bigfoot Collectors Club on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigfoot Collectors Club, you're here to believe us.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Campfire.